Hey everyone, this is Austin Scher here with We Write About Music, and today I'm speaking with Jordan Califf. They have just released a fantastic new single, and it's called Dancing in the Moonlight, and I'm very excited to talk to you all about it. First, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here. How are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here. I'm super excited.
A pleasure, I promise. Good music deserves to be talked about, and this is a great song,
Thank
truly.
you.
You're very welcome. Let's hop right into it. I want to know what the song is about. I want to know what inspired it. And I want to know all the juicy deets.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is for me, like when I write, I always talk about like I don't know what I'm writing about half the time until I'm about halfway done with the song.
Love it.
I'll sit down, I'll start writing and just kind of try to let like the vibe and the energy of the song. Like I know this sounds like very existential, but I try to let the songs like write themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think Dancing in the Moonlight is really like just about falling in love, right? And I think it's like fall, like first love, right? Which I don't think is a one-time thing. I think that is something you can feel multiple times in your life, but it's that just idea of like falling head over heels for someone over and over and over and over again. So yeah, I think it's like that feeling. And when I talk to like my animator for the lyric video, and my artist who does my cover art, I talked a lot about just like the idea of like when you're a kid and you look up at like the night sky and it's just this like crazy fascination with like space and stars, and like the world is so vast and it's crazy and chaotic, but also it's like one of the most peaceful things in the world to stare into a night sky like that.
I fully agree.
Yeah, it's, I think that feeling, I think love's a lot like that, where you're diving into something that is so totally foreign and unknown and crazy and chaotic, but also like serene and peaceful and like incredible, I guess.
Yeah. No, I'm actually really happy you brought that up because, you know, obviously I watched like the lyrics slash sort of music video and it's really cool. Like, honestly, you see so many boring lyric videos out there where it's just like, here's a black screen and here's white words and we're just going to go along with the process, but you've actually made it fun. Like,
well,
you watch it and there's things
that
happening.
That is all the credit to my animator. She's incredible. So
right.
She's
but I
done
assume
some great
there was,
work.
I assume there was creative direction there, not just like do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, what the song is, and yeah, I think it was trying to capture, you know, I gave her the impossible task of trying to capture something that is chaotic and also simple.
I think kind of nailed it there.
Yeah.
Because it does its thing and then it morphs and it's just fun.
Yeah. And I'm also like all of my cover art for my previous songs as well, and like this one as well, I'm obsessed with the idea of just like sketch art, cover art. Like there's something just so raw about, like, I think raw about songs themselves and authentic about that. And sketch art is that same way. I didn't want to release stuff and like plaster my face on everything. I just love the idea of sketch art being this just very raw form of like artwork as well that captures that same essence.
Totally adds a little bit of mystery and suspense too, which is always a plus. In terms of actually creating the song, you know, I know that you operate as a solo artist, at least by name, but do you have people behind you helping to produce, put things together? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So I wrote everything, the lyrics, the music and stuff like that. I record out of Pearl Sound Studios.
Cool.
With Chuck Alkazian, who is
legend.
An incredible, just incredible working with him and producing. He produces my stuff with me. And yeah, I mean, he's able to take my ideas, which are sometimes all over the place and everywhere, and just unify them and make them these just incredible sounding songs. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a great point because I've had the opportunity to interview a good amount of people that have had their music produced by him.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I always say, and I'll keep saying it. It's like, if you're going to listen to music in general, it should be listened to with headphones. Like, there's too many people out there that just pop it on their phone or their computer, and they miss out on these subtleties that make the song sound more grand and robust.
Yeah.
And that's what this song needs, is like gentle listen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy when I started, because I've been writing my whole life, but when I started actually doing stuff with Chuck and like working at the studio a little more on my songs, it changed the way I approach songwriting.
Really?
Just in terms of like things that you don't think about as a live artist. You know, I write on acoustic guitar usually, and then they turn into pop rock songs basically. But just like the sheer amount of like guitars that are on that, like even Dancing in the Moonlight, which is a pretty simple song, I think, by my standards, especially for the rest of the upcoming EP. Like there, I mean, just the idea of like parts that you don't play live, I guess, you know, what diamond guitars are, and just like hitting those first beats so that you feel exactly. And creating a feel to the song as opposed to just writing lyrics and an acoustic guitar part. And there's a place for that in music for sure. But just there's so many subtle things that make a song feel like a song, especially when you're listening to it all around you. And that's happening that you don't necessarily always do live, which is cool.
Right. So like, how does it, I guess, like, what is the conversation when you're like, okay, hey, Chuck, I've got this song. I wrote it on acoustic. I have an idea for the sort of world that I want to create here. And is it like an open forum or, I have no idea.
I mean, usually I play the song for Chuck and he goes, yeah, that's a great song.
okay.
That's usually how it starts. But no, we come in. So usually I'll record like a scratch track with the guitar, acoustic guitar, something that's pretty rough. We'll get the acoustics laid down and usually like a rough vocal track and then kind of work from there and build the song from there. So once we get drums down, I usually will say like, hey, a lot of my songs are all over the place. I try not to pigeon myself into like one specific genre.
Sure.
It's very pop rock. And I would say like my sound itself is very like late 90s, early 2000s, that vibe. Sure. But I'll say like, hey, you know, this band, like, I want to try to go in like this direction with it in this kind of like vibe of this band.
Okay.
You know, and then sees where we go with it. Like even like Dancing in the Moonlight's a lot more rock than I think I originally wrote it to be, which is interesting. You know, so when we're writing, it just kind of, the song just kind of creates itself. Like,
that's nice. You know, we'll that's kind of how it should be.
You know, as I know, I re-recorded the guitar parts a lot for it because it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And, you know, again, when you write it on acoustic and there's no acoustic guitar in that song. So
well, that's
sometimes
okay, though.
Stuff
yeah,
doesn't
I
always.
Mean, exactly. You know, most songs are written on an acoustic guitar or piano and then they can shift and become these brand new things.
Yeah. I mean, it was just reworking some chords and stuff into
exactly
the way. So stuff sounded cohesive, but
right.
It's a really fun song. I've really enjoyed writing it.
With that being said, then I would urge everyone who listens to this song for the first time and might just be listening to you for the first time to check out the rest of the music, and you might be pleasantly surprised with other genres and styles. You had mentioned an EP, and listen, we don't need to get too much into it because I know that it's either not finished or want to keep the focus. But are you going to be looking to experiment? Are we going to hear more songs in this vein?
I would say Dancing in the Moonlight is probably the outlier.
Really? Okay.
The EP will come out in a few. I think I'm going to release another single off of it. And then.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, this song is very pop, like poppy, I think.
Okay.
The other songs are more. When I said like late 90s, early 2000s vibes, like one of the songs is pop punk for sure.
Okay, sweet.
And then the other ones are very, I don't know, just that early late 90s vibe. Like a lot of my influences are like Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay, got
Alanis Morissette, Matchbox 20. I've loved Matchbox 20 my entire life. So like
all 90s, all early
2000s. So very, and like I think the way that we record emulates that as well.
Sure.
It's not a lot of like synth. It's not a lot of sampling or anything like that. It's not at all. It's all guitar, live guitars and live drums and like everything's live instruments. And just like very overproduced, lots of guitars. I put lots of vocal harmonies. I'm obsessed with vocal harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing in the Moonlight shows that a little bit.
I would say so.
Every song on this EP is so fantastic. It it was really hard to pick singles off of it, honestly.
Do you ever find it difficult to like kind of not, I don't know, not disassociate, but like remove yourself from your influences when creating your music so as to not create the same exact song? I know it's difficult because it's like you can't make music without hearing other music.
I think for me, it's that I write the song first.
Okay.
And then I kind of go, oh, this song feels like this. For me, it's very much like I'm influenced for sure. And I've been writing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like stuff that I wrote when I was a kid for sure sounds like very much like, you know, I was listening to a lot of Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
I just rewrote a Rob Thomas song, right? Like, and I think, I mean, part of it is that just growing up and like learning how to not sound like artists. If I listen to a song and go, oh, I really liked this thing.
Yeah.
I might try to write a song revolving around a similar idea. Maybe it's a guitar thing or a drum part or whatever. But I try to just use the vibe of it as like, so it's feel as opposed to, I'm not stealing parts. I'm not doing anything like that.
I 100% understand.
I'm writing the song and going, oh, I kind of want it to sound similar to this.
Yeah. And I think for your sake, that's like truly one of the most responsible things that you can do, because there's too many people that are like, you know, for example, driving down the highway and they're listening to a song on the radio and it comes up and it's like, I'm going to write a song that is just like that. But the fact that you remove yourself is so important.
Well, I think that's a thing too, that like has been a trend a little bit in music right now, has just been like, sampling is great. Like sampling has been a great thing, but only like when it's used by people who know what they're doing with it, I think.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a trend lately of like songs that just, oh, I made a new song, but you really just took the exact melody from something and plopped it on top of something else and said, here's a new song. And I'm like, that's not that.
I could talk about this for days. It's because, it's because those songs were popular when they were released. And the music industry doesn't want to take chances on, not necessarily take chances on new songs, but it's like, well, hey, if we have half of the whole song,
if it works,
and that one
it
got a billion hits, then all you need to do is create half a song and it's perfect. And that's very annoying. And it kind of feels very played out at this point. So,
I've definitely, like, people have told me my songs feel very nostalgic.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of my songs, because what I write is that late 90s, early 2000s, it's what like people my age grew up with. It's
totally.
And so it, because it feels like that, it feels nostalgic. And I think it helps evoke kind of those same ideas. I was talking about like looking at a night sky and stuff like that, but like,
exactly,
you know, it's for me, like it's, I'm writing stuff that like when I would go on road trips with my family and we turned on the radio and that's what I listened to. Like, that's kind of what I think it evokes feelings of for other people, is like just that, oh, that kind of feels like this. It's not at all remotely close to the same song, but production wise and the way that we're making it feel and sound feels like that.
It's nostalgic without ripping off. And that's as difficult as it gets when making music. Have you had the opportunity to play any of your songs live yet? Is that something that's happening? No,
not
never
yet. I don't know yet. I'm sure it will happen at some point. I just haven't had the time really to do
it. No, that's completely understandable.
I really want to get more into like ghostwriting, helping other people like produce their songs.
Yeah.
I love writing. I was telling you before we hopped on here, like I have like 20 or 30 songs I'm writing right now. Yes. Like that's not a lie. I am writing all the time, and I just love like even helping people elevate their songs, you know, to what they could be, to their fullest potential. Like, you know, writing for me is sometimes inspiration, but like it is sitting down and forcing yourself to do it. Like,
sure,
it's a job. It's not like
it is a job.
You know, it's not as much as it is fun and I love doing it. Like, there are times where I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to write, and I write absolute garbage. But sometimes you get a little nugget of gold in there.
They cannot all be winners.
And it's like, we were just talking about this, but like an exercise for me is like lyric writing is, okay, I'm going to write a song that lyrically is mimics the style of this artist or this artist, because that's how I'm used to communicating with other artists. Like, if you're trying to produce a song for someone or my music or whatever, like, you know, I'll sit down and go, I want this song to sound like this artist. Okay, we can mimic those styles. And how do we do that? So those are exercises that I'll do to try to jog anything if I'm just not in an inspirational place. I would say, like, right now I'm in a guitar riff writing place. Like, I just keep churning out guitar riffs, and lyrically I'm a little stagnant right now, but
that's okay. The brain can only handle so much.
Right.
You'll work on this. You'll get back to this. And before you know it, you'll have 20 more songs.
But yeah, I'd love to get more into like songwriting for other people.
Sure.
That is something I love. And I think it's something I didn't expect to love so much. Like, I went to school. So I studied at University of Michigan. And I studied theater and music there. So I literally studied to be a performer. And then, like, started working in the studio, and I just absolutely love being in the studio setting, and I love writing, and I just love being creative in that way. It's such a different way of doing things. I love rearranging stuff. I love arranging harmonies. I'm obsessed with that. I also teach. I teach at a school of rock.
Awesome.
And just, you know, when we're putting together bands and stuff, and, like, we were just talking about, you know, we might try to do, like, a 21 Pilots song in there. Potentially. Sweet. And like, we only have one keyboard player. So how can we rearrange this to be a more rock cover of this without all of the crazy synth parts that are
totally
crazy and cool? But like, that is something that's so fun and so creative. I get to be super creative in that way. And then spread that joy to a bunch of kids who want to learn and are great musicians themselves, which is really fun.
That's amazing. And yeah, and then obviously in the end, it's going to make you a better musician and just composer, truly. Because if you're rearranging things and doing that whole thing, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, it's just, it's fun. And, you know, it's a great side gig.
Love it. I have a couple more for you.
Yeah.
I want to know, because we're very close to wrapping up this year, which is crazy. But what is on the horizon for you? I know you mentioned new music, but what are even like some goals that you'd like to hit?
I mean, you know, we're going to promote the single pretty heavily. You know, we just released it. So we'll probably promote that pretty heavily. I think most musicians know December's kind of just a no-go in terms of that. Like,
yeah, it's a little complicated.
So we'll probably drop, I'm probably dropping a single January, February.
Cool.
The EP, I think we're slating to release next, like right before the summer.
Okay.
Which would be, I think just feels good. Feels like a good place to drop that. I have so many songs. I'm trying to, like I said, I want to get more into writing for other people, producing for other people. So that's kind of my, where my head's at right now is like getting, kind of building more of that up, recording stuff. It's been different since I just moved. Not having the studio be like 20 minutes from me.
A little complicated,
But I mean, I have my own little home studio set up and stuff like that, so I can send stuff, but I'm probably going to, I mean, I have so many songs I can keep recording and keep. So I don't know. I don't have like strict goals, but you know, just keep making music, keep writing. It's
musician always finds a way.
Yeah.
You're not going to let, you know, little things get in your way. That's not how it works here.
No, I don't think it can really. Like, music is such an integral part of who I am and what I do. And I can't see myself doing anything else. So, like, it's what I'm kind of stuck in it now. So,
sweet. I love it. Okay. My last question for you here is, it's basically for the person that is going to discover you from this interview. What is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
I mean, I think with my music, I think anyone can find something they'll like out of it. But honestly, it's just, it's real. Like, my music's real. Like, I'm real. I don't know. The music, I think art should speak for itself. I think these songs speak for themselves. I don't think, I want people to be able to take the songs and interpret them any way they want. So, like, I try to write in a way that lets people do that. I think I write about a lot of stuff, despite Dancing in the Moonlight being a very like poppy, upbeat love song type thing. I write about a lot of topics that are pretty intense and pretty deep,
Yeah.
and like I think that's important to me, but I hope my music resonates with everyone. Like, so everyone can find something in it that they can relate to or connect to. If you don't, I hope you find it in something that I write. So,
I think they've got enough music to dig through to find
yeah.
what they're looking for. Jordan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time,
Thank you for having
and
me.
you're so welcome. And please let me plug your music for you one more time here.
Yes.
So, if you missed out, this is Jordan Califf, and the song is Dancing in the Moonlight. And of course, we will have the links in our articles that you can listen and share and follow along and generally stay up to date because it sounds like there's so much more on the way. I'm excited for it. I know you're excited for it.
I am.
I think everyone should be excited for it.
It's gonna be great. I'm so excited.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you so much again for taking the time. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I hope to speak soon.
Cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, take care. Bye-bye.